and welcome to Clamped, a weekly podcast where we talk about all things related to creating, living, and making projects. I'm your host, Grant Alexander, and joining me as always is Adam Mackey and Jesse Radfink. And today, we're going to plan for success. So Adam had this idea for a topic, so I'm going to pass it over to him to explain what we're going to be talking about today.
So I've started to work out the plan for a video that I want to do coming up to do with bikes and stuff, but the content doesn't matter as much. And it got me thinking about how much thought process I've put into this video compared to a normal video. And it made me think about like planning out videos versus not planning out videos and what sort of how much planning I want to put into certain types of videos and the content of the video. So like with my bike building, for instance, I want it to be more raw of like just talking to the camera, giving updates, showing me do the work, but not actually like going through the whole thing. Whereas this video that I'm planning to do in the future, you know, it'll probably be released in a month or two. I'm going to make a script beforehand and have everything planned out and do all this work. Like I spent 6 hours today going through files on websites. And I want to do a video on like, is 3D printing good for people with motorbikes and all that sort of stuff? Like, you know, making 3D printing motorbike parts and all that sort of stuff. I looked through like well over 100 pages of 3D prints today, going through and looked at every single print of like, is this worthy? Like, should I print that? And like, I planned on printing everything and testing it and working like what will work and all that. Cool. So it was like a lot of work, but then that's just working out what I'm going to print. I still like, I want to make a full script beforehand. I want to make it look as professional as possible, not just like along for the ride. So, yeah.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, you are spending a lot of time trying to make the best thing possible.
Yeah, but it's also the type of video that I want to make. Like, whereas I don't want to put in that much planning and effort into like the bike build videos because I want them to feel more raw.
Okay.
I feel like it's completely different content. So, well, one of the examples when I messaged you guys before that I was talking about, so Mighty Car Mods, they've got like their normal videos, which are all like polished and everything is like edited to the music. They actually make the music themselves for the videos and everything. Whereas they also do like this other thing what they call like Disrespected. And it's like completely raw, no music, no like there's quick jump cuts and stuff. Like they literally just cut between each thing, like no B-roll, just film what they're doing, put it all together and put it out. Like that's the whole video. Whereas like everything else is usually planned and it's
right.
You can tell the difference, but like the difference between the videos is so interesting, but they're both still so engaging and interesting.
Right. So I guess then what you're trying to say is that planning, cause they're both planned
in a way,
right? But they're definitely both planned cause they definitely have a plan, but there's different ways of planning. That's what I think is interesting here is that right. One way you can plan like a shot list and this is what I need to make. And yeah. Another way is you are filming everything and then taking it from there of what happened and finding the story within the whatever happened. You can make an interesting story of it afterwards.
Yeah.
Right. That sounds like the Disrespected is like they just kind of film everything and then find the story after. And I so I wonder. Kind of. Right. Jesse, well, how do you like to do your stuff? Like, what do you do to prepare?
I mean, I do a couple things. One is that I tend to do a lot of research up front, kind of like what Adam was saying, like just going through a ton of shit and just seeing how people have done it before, how they've explained it, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then I normally do a trial run for myself because you never know what's going to go wrong. And I've always dreamed of doing the sort of, I don't know, video that Adam was describing, Disrespected, like where, yeah, it's just a lot of stuff cut together. You're not having to narrate it. There's not a huge like don't know, you didn't have like a huge shot list to do it.
Yeah.
And I am very curious about people, how people even do that, because to me, I can't make sense of it. Because the couple times that I've filmed a lot, I've gotten so overwhelmed trying to pick what would go in. Like, there's so much raw footage that it's just too much for me. And that's something I wish I was better at, because the only way that I can actually make a video is with a like serious shot list after I've already like written an instructable.
So I'm with you on my fast. I can edit way, way, way faster when I know what I want. Like when I've already planned it out in my head, cause I don't actually write a shot list or anything like that. But I, in my head, know like this, then this, then this. It's like I can film and edit it so much faster, and it just like comes together as a video, because I knew what was the interesting parts. So I knew what to film, and I have like, so I built the play structure in my backyard last summer. We're at the end of fall now, and I still haven't put out the video, and I have hours of footage.
Yeah.
Right. And the problem is I have too much, and I go through it and I go, all of it matters and none of it matters. And right. Like all of it is important to me because it all came together as a thing for my sons. Right. Mm-hmm. And also none of it matters because none of it's actually interesting. Maybe, I don't know, probably not. Based on my view counts of, you know, what's interesting and not, it's probably not interesting to anyone else but me. Right. So then I flip flop all the time on who is my audience and who am I making this stuff for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in camera editing is something that I do a lot, which by that, what I mean is I try to film just what I need to and not have all this extra footage. So mm-hmm. When I've been doing the bike build, I don't plan my shots. I don't have a shot list or anything. My intention is to film everything. But then as I'm filming or as I'm getting ready to film, I'm thinking, does this need to go in the video? Is it even worth doing? So like I took the gas tank off, right? I have already filmed so much removing stuff. I don't need to add that in. I'm just going to like put a shot of me taking it off lifting it off the bike. And be like, I took the gas tank off. Like, there's no need to show me undoing all the bolts and everything because I've already done that so many times. Mm. Whereas, like, in the past, I would have just recorded all of that and then afterwards gone, well, I recorded it. I better put it in.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to throw footage away. So I try to do it. I try to, like, do that bit of editing while I'm filming. And then something I've been doing different is using my DSLR for, like, a lot of the working on the bike, and then all of the updates of like talking to the camera, I'm doing it, recording all that with my phone.
Huh.
Because I can just hold it and move around and stuff. I just find it a lot easier.
So I've noticed that I personally, since we've switched to doing YouTube videos for the podcast, and I've been using my GoPro to film, so we have this beautiful, for everyone watching, we have this beautiful like fisheye shit happening here. But, you know, since I switched to that, so I didn't have a grainy piece of shit video, I actually film less projects because I go out there and I have to go, I have to go get my phone and like my camera's attached to the computer. And I guess I just won't do it. I'll just quickly do this. But then I also go, wow, fuck, I wish I had filmed that so often.
So you know what's funny? It's taken me so long to do, but I finally printed quick releases for the DSLR.
Oh,
and it's so handy. Like I can move it like wherever I need. But then on top of that, because I'm now filming the podcast in here, I've moved my monitor stand and I've attached it to the wall behind my laptop, which then has one of the arms coming out with a quick release on it so I can put the DSLR on, and that's what's pointing out in here. But not only am I then able to like move it from there to the tripod or whatever, I can also leave it on there and use it as a second tripod when I'm filming on the bike and stuff because the bike's behind me. That little arm there has like literally changed the way I film so much.
So, okay, I have a question. Did you plan it?
I didn't. I planned on it a little bit for the podcast, but I didn't plan on ever using it to record for videos.
Right.
Okay. So I have a question for y'all. So when you are filming, do you have like special tripods, special setups that you use in different areas? Or are you carrying things from place to place?
I carry everything place to place, but in certain tools, I know where to set it up to get the shots I want, because I've done it so many times where all of a sudden I've got a nice, wonderful view of my elbow as I'm trying to do something on the drill press because I put it on the wrong side of the drill press, right? And then like as soon as you grab the quill, you know.
Mm.
So when I'm doing my stationary tools, it's so much easier. You know where to put it. The problem comes about when you're either working on something big and it's not in your normal spot, or you're working on something or you have a new tool, you're not quite sure to do it. But you eventually get to learn. The biggest problem is projects that are outside of the normal areas you work. That's where I have a problem planning my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because when I did like the woodworking and stuff, it was a lot more like Grant. Like my tools were static and I knew, you know, put the camera here, get this shot and that. Working on the bikes though, one, it's all new to me and I'm trying to like position the camera to see what I'm doing. But I'm also in the mindset of trying to not do the same shot twice because I have that sort of flexibility. Like the material that I'm working on is in a different spot. So I could, if I take the headlight off this bike from this angle, and more next bike I work on, I'm going to do it from a different angle. So I'm not just using the same shots over and over. But I've also gone through the process of making everything movable. So like I put the workbench casters on the bike lift, not just so I can move the bike lift around to be able to get around it, but also so I can move the bike lift to a different spot to get a different shot. My workbench is on wheels so that I can pull it forward and record standing behind it. So I can record over my shoulder. I can record like standing behind the workbench. And that's sort of where I've changed of not just moving the camera around, but also moving around what I'm working on, if that makes sense.
Yeah. This is where I'm struggling, I think. Because I have always done top down or like straight on, just like two angles. You know, I have never been involved. I've never been in the shots. There's not really been like a lot of background stuff. I haven't done a lot of projects that are kind of like living while doing it. They're sort of like perfect magazine projects, you know?
Yeah.
And so now that I'm thinking about trying to be a little more fluid in that and a little less intense about how I'm controlling every little thing, I think that I am just struggling a lot knowing how to frame stuff.
Right.
Which is why I asked, how often do you guys move?
So I'll give you two pieces of advice. The first one is if you're doing something more than once, film it in multiple angles. Yeah. And then you'll know which angle works. That's how I found all the angles that work. You know, if you're cutting on the table saw or whatever, like you just keep moving your camera, like you film six different angles. If you're cutting 100 pieces, like whatever, right? Even if you're cutting six pieces, you got six chances to put the different thing.
Yeah, Adam. That's a good point.
Also with that, something I've tried to do in the past is with all those different angles, try to edit them as if it's one. So you've cut through half the piece of wood and then changed to another angle, finishing the cut. So it looks like you have a multiple camera setup, if that makes sense. Yes. You know, or you could even, I've done it in the past. It's not the most safest thing to do, but if you're doing like say table saw and you're only doing the one cut halfway through, stop, move the camera and then finish the cut. So you have that, because you're not going to do the second cut.
I have not thought about doing that, but that is really smart. Because I do that with our sim lab, like the Tinkercad sim lab videos I put together. Yeah, I do a bunch of different angles and I cut them in a way so that, it looks like it's just the same thing happening. I don't know why I didn't think to do that with actual video projects.
If you actually notice, like if you watch people like woodworking and stuff, how many times you'll notice now that people do that? It is a very common thing to, because everyone's trying to make it look like they've got multiple cameras set up on the same cut. Well, a lot of people are anyway.
Yeah.
The other piece of advice I'll give is something I saw Brian Housewort from Housemaid. He posted something from this guy named Sylvester McNutt, and it says overthinking. Yeah. Overthinking is, it's just like Brian House. Like, it's just like, what a name. Overthinking is the biggest waste of human energy. Trust yourself, make a decision, and gain more experience. There is no such thing as perfect. You cannot think your way into perfection. Just take action. And I think it's really important to remember this when you're trying, like, this is like, it's like the more developed way of saying just get started, right? It's definitely the, like, a lot of people spend way too much time thinking about planning a shot list, thinking of, like, and then they never actually take the shot. Take it.
Yeah.
Right? Do it. And guess what? If you fuck up, do it again.
Yeah.
Right? Almost everything that we make, you can redo. And if you've ever watched, like, Adam, if you've ever watched some people doing, like, a car show or a motorcycle show, most of the time, they've already done it, and they put it all back together, and then they undo it again. And that's why none of the bolts seem to break on the car shows, right? Yeah. Whereas all the bolts break whenever I do anything.
I think that's why I like YouTube, because it seems to be a lot more raw than, like, the professional car shows and stuff. So it's funny. So I take that a little bit further as well, as in to not, like, hesitate with not just, like, getting started, but also, like, thinking of, like, your first thing, right? So, like, you might do what you think is silly on camera, and, like, you're editing and you're like, oh, that's really, like, silly. I shouldn't put that in. But you put it in, take the risk, and that's what people love to see.
Right.
You know, like, so, like, it's so – One thing that I sort of relate to that, or something I thought of when you said it, is, do you know, I think it's like, I can't remember the exact number, but it's like 90 or 95% of accidents that happen during action sports is people hesitating because you don't commit. So, like, say skateboarding, for instance, right? The amount of people that get injured, not because they stuff up, it's because they hesitate and they don't commit and pull off the trick. That's when they get hurt or fail.
Well, and the same thing can be said, like, commit to your mistakes. So, like, this is like a big thing. If you're driving and you realize that, oh, I'm in a lane that is now exiting, exit. Don't try and, like, or I missed my exit.
Yes.
Don't go like, oh, fuck, I got to cross four lanes of highway to get to my exit. No, commit to your mistakes. Go, I'll find another way, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the worst that happens? Like, oh, I drove for 10 extra minutes. Instead of cutting off four cars and rolling your car over because you tried to, like, you know, Dukes of Hazzard across a median because you're an idiot and missed your turnoff, like, just commit, right? Yeah.
Or if you're in California, you just put your car in reverse on the highway. That out there. I'm not
even
kidding. That was the first time I'd ever seen it. That was all I could think about when you said that.
Right.
Editing Adam put in the clip from Family Guy of the Asian lady going, I turn now. Good luck, everyone.
Oh, my God. Good luck, everyone.
You haven't seen that?
No.
Oh, it's so funny. She's like exactly what you said. She's on the highway. Is like, I turn now into the exit ramp. Is like, good luck, everyone. It just keeps going.
Yeah. So this is you know, taking action is one of the most important things I think you can do when it comes to planning for success. And it seems wrong, but you can only plan so far. And that's where I want to say, like, you got to start doing it, right? You just got to start if you plan forever, you will never have anything done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I know Jack
more anxiety.
Right. But like, so Jack Conte, and this is like, I'm sure we've talked about this before because it's like bringing back this deja vu, but Jack Conte, the guy who has Pomplemousse and Patreon, he did like a TED talk or like a similar sort of talk that's on YouTube. And he talked about how often he, like how much he has put out to have the little bits of success he has, like how many songs he's done, how many, like the amount of work he puts in is like astronomical. Like there's obviously these people who just like out of nowhere seemingly, but obviously even they put in work, but you can have beginner's luck, right? And yeah. do something good. And that's great. But almost everyone who is successful, it's because they took action. So you just need to take action. And you I feel need to like trust your gut.
In saying that, you have people that what would you say that successful the first time? Beginner's luck.
Yeah. But
to stay successful takes work. Just right. because you became like just because you've become an like how many people out there have one hit wonders became successful overnight and then just drizzled away because they didn't put in the work after that, you know, like,
well, we don't know. I don't want everyone to say like, cause there's lots of people who are one hit wonders who kept putting in the work and just never had another thing catch on because,
well, yeah.
Right. Like
but I'm saying, if you don't put in the work, if you don't put in the work, you're going to fail.
So that's the old like Wayne Gretzky quote, like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And I absolutely no, that's fucking Michael Scott. Hate.
Yeah, I was going to say yeah. Wayne Gretzky.
No, well. So I hate that quote because you don't miss any of those shots because you didn't take them. And that's yeah. even worse. It's 100% worse that you didn't even take those shots. You don't even, you know what? The people who I miss shots, I respect the more the people who don't take shots.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Is that kind of what he said?
So, no. But you know who I respect the most?
Our Patreon.
Oh, quick episode today, okay.
Yeah. Well, if you got more, we can do it. It just seemed like a really good spot. Well,
I just wanted to touch on one more thing. So, you okay. talked about like with the planning and stuff, Jesse. So, like, I don't... with like the bike building, I don't plan shots, but I do have ideas that come to me that I write down as a plan. So for instance, mm-hmm. I thought I had to replace a gasket. Well, I thought I had to make my own gasket because they're hard to come by. Turns out I don't. It's only an O-ring that I need to replace. But I had in my head, I'm like, I'm going to get a doctor's coat and I'm going to get a mirror and attach it to my head. And I'm going to be like on camera and be like scalpel and like cut out the gasket and stuff, you know, like, so like things like that pop into my head and I'll write it down. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can call that planning or not because I didn't like think, oh, how can I make this interesting? It just sort of popped into my head because like the word scalpel popped into my head because I would use one to cut it out. I was like, hey, it's like a doctor thing. And then like it just came up, right. But I wrote it down.
What I want to say about that is, I have great ideas like that, and I am shit for following through. And someone who follows through is like Stephanie from Uncommon Outpost. She is like, oh, she has a weird idea, and she's like, I'm going to go out and spend like $100 on wigs and beards. And so good, though. Right. But she like follows through on those weird ideas. Yeah. And I think like that is – I wish I could do that. So, like, I've had a couple times where I've done, like, camping videos. I'm driving for, like, an hour or two or five. And I go, I should just pull over to the side of the road, put up my camera, turn around, come back, right, and drive past. And then, like, yeah, it's, like, annoying that I have to do, like, a little loop. It's going to take 10 minutes, right? And I don't do it. And I don't know why I can't like convince myself to do this like one shot. It's going to take, yeah, it's going to be like the 3 second shot in the video. It's going to take me 10 minutes, but I refuse to do it because I just like, I'm not refused. I just,
it's keep funny.
Telling myself, like, I'll do that one later. And then all of a sudden I'm home and I go, fuck.
It's funny you say that because like that is the thing, right? Like it's 10 minutes of work for a 3-second clip, but it's worth it. You don't think it at the time, but it is. And the amount of videos I've watched of people like ride past on their motorbike, and I'm like, how annoying that you had to set up your camera, turn right. around, go back, drive past, then you've got to turn around again, come back and get the camera. And I thought that is such an annoying process, but you wouldn't have that shot if you didn't do it.
Yep, this is what I get hung up on. I am realizing it right now as we're talking. That is where I get hung up on because I can go crazy with a thought. I will do really weird shit for no reason and will get super stuck into it for like hours at a time. But the minute I have to think about doing extra work and committing it to film in some sort of way,
right?
That's when I lock up. Because I don't know, it's like at that point it's real or something. I don't know. But that is what like I get stuck on because, you know, if I'm just doing pictures every now and then and just crafting and having fun, I do whatever and I have no care. But yeah, if I have to think about putting in the extra effort, I just stop.
So, and this is where I've really tried hard and it's really difficult. But it's why I got like I carried around my session with me in my pocket at High Caliber Camp last year. And I just kept pulling it out and like filming stuff. I was like, if I just film this, and this is where like taking action instead of planning was the way to go. It's just like, just pull it out, press the record and go and do something and just do it. And guess what? If I just throw it away at the end, I just throw it away at the end. Who cares? Right? But this is like, so Griff, like Jacob Griffin, stole my steak flipper. It's so part of my, like, I was like joking around with him that I was like, he stole it. And then I was like, you know what? I have to film this. So I pulled out my thing and I had like a little interview with him about why he stole my steak flipper, which made it into the video. And I thought made the video so much better that it was like, you know, he didn't steal it on purpose. He stole it by accident, but he thought it was his, but his was left-handed, mine was right-handed, or vice versa. But
what steak flipper, how are they left or right-handed?
It's a little hook. It's a little hook steak flipper. So one way you rotate it in this way, the other way you rotate it in this way. So the hook is like a curved hook. Can like a fish hook?
Just turn the hook around for the other hand?
No, because like if you look up blacksmith steak flipper, you'll see.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about now. I have seen these. Right. I was confused for a moment. It's okay.
Right. So you either make it one way or the other. And I definitely fucked mine up and made it the wrong way for what I would want to do. But that's okay because I got Jacob's in the end. So
I see.
And you know what is amazing about that is that he's a patron of ours.
What's that?
It's the people who support this show, and I especially want to thank the F Clamp level ones: Scott from Dad It Yourself, Joe Herdina, Rich from Lowen Designs, David Wood from DW Wood Builds, Brad from I'm Gonna Make, and Chad from Chad's Customs Creations. I want to thank all of them and everyone else who supports us. If you feel like you got, you know, a dollar, which is like less than a coffee. You can't even buy anything at all for a dollar anymore. If you felt like this show was worth a dollar, head on over to patreon.com/clamp. You'll get a pre-show, after show, and additionally, you'll get a keychain made by me that I then ship to you. So that's worth more than a dollar right there. Mm-hmm. So go on over to patreon.com/clamp. And sign up, and we'd really appreciate it. If you can't support, we understand completely. You know, you can just share the show, write a review, all those fun things.
Cool. I want to quickly add, so anyone who joined us for our Patreon exclusive hangout, it was just me and Grant, that was the joke. We were talking about me going to Maker Camp next year, right?
Yes.
And it got me thinking, so I want to try and make enough money off our Patreon that we can get all three of us to Maker Camp.
Right.
So if you want to see all three of us at Maker Camp, make sure you join us on Patreon.
Right. If you just want to see Adam there, you can join us too. So I'll go anyways and pay my own way. And I even told Adam that if he makes it to America, I'll buy his ticket. So all we got to do is pay for a flight for Adam.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I might end up paying for it anyway, but still. Just do it.
We'll see. Yeah. All right. Clamp Mendations.
Clamp Mendations.
So this week, I would like to recommend Christine McConnell. She is one of my heroes in crafting, baking, making. She does, or well, I guess I should say she started out doing a lot of really like spooky food art. A lot of pies and cookies and cakes that were just stunning and amazing and graphic. But then she got very famous for doing her house in sort of a Nightmare Before Christmas style for Halloween. She did a whole like Gremlins photo shoot with baked goods. She is just amazing in every way. She, I don't know, I really can't say enough good things about her. And I noticed when I was, you know, checking her out tonight that it's mostly all the women I know that follow her, but I think she deserves follows from everybody, honestly, because her work is impeccable. So yeah, if you like creative food art, you like sort of gothic feeling stuff, horror stuff, she's amazing. And some of the photo shoots that she does are just absolutely stunning. They're like the most beautiful things you can see. So yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very vintage feeling.
Yeah. She's very like ultra beautiful pinup girl as well. It's just like, God,
pinup girl. That's beauty the
rest.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Cool. All right. Well, I am going to recommend everyone check out my buddy Ash from Bishy Rascal. He was one of the people in the original up and coming makers group where I met Adam. He's a UK maker who took a long hiatus, like a 3-year hiatus from Instagram, YouTube, and all the like. And he is back on Instagram. And maybe he'll stick around. Hopefully he does. And I think he's worth following. He had a lot of fun. He gave he made some testicles and gave them to Jimmy Dresta. That was one of his biggest videos. So
like truck nuts? Or...
And so, like, you know, like a maker coin?
Yes.
He made his maker coin was in the shape of testicles, and he gave his balls to Jimmy Dresta when he made him at Maker Central. He is one of the people that I really, like, connected with early on and thought he was a really cool guy, and then he just, you know, had things going on in his life that prevented him from enjoying social media. So he's back, though. And everyone should go check him out. He deleted his account, even though he had like, I don't know, 3,000 followers. He decided to just delete it. So now he's back at like at square one. So, yeah.
Cool. My elimination this week is going to be Cafe Racer Garage. He is another Australian YouTuber that modifies motorbikes and pretty much builds them. A lot more intense than what I plan to do right now, but
he does. Is he in the circus?
No.
Why is he intense? Is he camping?
He does a lot more of like fabrication work, cutting and welding and. Yeah.
Adam, your dirty looks are so good. Oh, love it.
I'm a dad, and I still fucking missed it.
So what's this Cafe Racer Garage? He does cool stuff. That's good. Intense.
Ask us anything. So the Ask Us Anything question this week is from High Caliber Craftsman Builds. If you had to choose one item to make and it's the only thing you could make, what would it be?
It's an interesting like question coming from someone who is had two businesses specializing in a single item. So for those who don't know Austin from High Caliber Craftsman Builds, he had an Austin, his company was called Austin Surfboards. So he just built surfboards. And then he later changed to High Caliber Craftsman and he just built pens. So
what an opposite change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big to very, very small.
Yeah.
So if I could only make one item, I don't know. I've talked a lot. Your turn.
What's considered an item?
Well, you say something, I'll tell you whether or not it's an item.
Motorbikes.
Good. You just only want to make motorbikes? Great.
Yeah. That is my goal. Like, that's what I want my business to be. Like, I'm
today. Yeah, I'm working towards. Goal. For a while, it was paracord bracelets. Before that, was like cutting boards.
Paracord bracelets was just a little side hobby to keep me busy. This is what I actually want to do.
All right. Jesse.
So I thought about this a lot, and I ended
must be nice up, to know which question I you're going to be picking.
Well, it is. It's a good thing this is my segment. The person with the most anxiety. You got to be prepared. At first, I was like, "Well, I would do mixed media art," and then I was like, "That's not like, you know, narrow enough." So I settled
on DIY.
I settled on painting because I figure there is so much that you can do with that medium that I don't know that I would get bored with it. So, yeah, I think I might stick to like paintings just because, yeah, there's so much you can do. And maybe I could slide some mixed media in there and do some like stitching, maybe.
If I could only make one item. It's such a hard thing because it's like the hardest part is like knowing that if I could make an item and sell it and like this becomes my job and then I'd be okay, like I could support everyone and this is the only thing I could do, I'd be like, oh, maybe I'd make like dining room tables because like you can do a lot with that, right? Like, and they're big and like you can have fun with it and you could do, or you can make smaller like tables. So just make tables. Great. I'm making tables. But the problem is making tables is like expensive. And if I can only make one thing and then I can't sell it because like for whatever reason I'm not able to sell it, like I'm stuck. Okay, I've made all the tables in my house and no one wants to buy my shitty tables. Okay, now what? Right? So I'm trying to think of it as a way of like, if I can only make one thing, what's the most useful thing I could make?
Can I add a loophole and say that the one thing that I'll make is content? But the content is on me building things.
No.
But the main focus is the content.
No, I would say you could do that, but then you're now a filmer and an editor, and that's it. You don't actually do the making.
Right.
Boom.
I thought that was a good
thing. Shot down. Yeah. If I could only make one thing. I'd like to make my wife happy.
Sell it to make money. Just think like you can only.
I'd like to make myself happy.
Yeah, I would if I could only make one thing, and like I could just make them, and it wouldn't like I think I would like to just make like hand carved spoons, and the reason I don't make them is because my hands hurt doing it, so I can't do
that. Arthritis is hard when you're old.
Right, sucks to be old.
I got one more thing for Jesse to make one thing this week, and that's a reel of this question. We should be making reels of these questions and getting people to stitch them.
Right. Whatever it is. So what we do is we actually tell you what to make the reel of, and then you don't do it. So thank you, TF Turning, for the theme song. If you want to find us, you can search us on Instagram at Clampcast or on Facebook, and you can join Damo over there as like the one person who follows the page, or you can find us over on Discord. And if you're having problems getting into the Discord, just message us. We'll get you an invite over there. We've actually, you know, have a monthly exclusive hangout. And if you guys want to have a hangout of Clamp listeners at any point, you guys can just schedule it on the Discord and I'll probably jump in because I'm often available for that kind of thing. But, if you head on over to the Discord, we like to talk about what happened to this show. We like to talk about what we've been working on and all that fun stuff. Yeah. Just message us. And until next time, cheers. Have a great day.
Bye. Bye.